As we look to gather around the Word of God this morning, and as we continue the series that we started last week on stories of hope, as we walk through these days of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, today we are going to be looking at the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 23, and Jeremiah's letter to the exiles in Babylon. On Tuesday night of this week, we decided to do a little change of pace in what we were going to do for our dinner plans and get some takeout food for dinner on Tuesday evening. And so I went out to pick up the food, and I have to say that it was a very eerie experience. It was very interesting as I was driving along the roads to be able to realize that I was one of just a few cars that were out, especially at dinner time when it would be normally people really around coming back from work at the end of a day. To realize that I was one of just a few cars on the road. It was really a strange and an eerie feeling, realizing that everyone, except those few on the road, were at home, obeying the stay-at-home order that we had received earlier this week. You know, in this letter from Jeremiah, written to the exiles in Babylon, we are in many ways like them right now. This morning, as we look at it, we are exiled to our homes, though the exiles in Israel were exiled to a foreign land in Babylon. Some of you today live by yourselves, and so you are living in exile at home, in isolation exile. Some of you have your families with spouses or children in your homes, and so even though you are living in exile, it's still a small group isolation. But isolation nonetheless. These are really interesting days for us, living in exile in our homes, doing it not because we want to necessarily, but because we are doing it in obedience to those who are in authority over us for the well-being of those that we love and for the well-being of our world in general. And so today, whether you like it or not, you are most likely exiled at home. And so I believe that the Lord has a specific word for us this morning, because as we live in exile in our homes these days, these do not have to be days of decrease. These can be days of increase. And I believe that the Lord wants to encourage us and bring us great hope in the midst of this time. The first several verses, the first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 29 is where I would like for us to begin. Gives a little bit of the background of why this passage is written. One of the most familiar passages, has some of the most familiar verses in all of Scripture, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, but we're going to look at the majority of the text of this letter. So follow along as I would read Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 3 first. Jeremiah says, "This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon." Just as a bit of background before we launch into this, the reason that Jeremiah is writing is he has been declaring the message for the people of Israel to repent and return to the Lord, but they have not. And as a response, the people of Judah have now been taken off into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, taken off to a land that they did not want to go, a land where many were killed first and the remaining remnant taken off into exile to Babylon. They were not there by their will. They were there because the Lord was a part of it, because they had disobeyed the Lord. And so Jeremiah sends this letter from Jerusalem, where he is still at this point, to those leaders, those priests, those prophets that are still present with the exiles in Babylon, to be able to convey the word of the Lord to them. So I believe there are some lessons for us to the exiles at home. Two main lessons and then some sub-lessons that we'll look at for a few moments. The first lesson is this: pray for resolution, but live for for the long haul. Pray for resolution, but live for the long haul. As we do that, first, it's important for us to be people of prayer and to pray to God for the resolution of this matter. In verse 4, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." If you skip ahead to verses 15 through 19, the letter from Jeremiah says this, "You may say the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city, your countrymen who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like poor figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and I will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants and prophets, and you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord." Understand this. Jeremiah is saying in delivering the word of the Lord that it is God. God is the one who has sent them into exile. Nebuchadnezzar is the one he uses to accomplish it, but God is the one who sends his people into exile. The reason was because of their sinful rebellion against God. And so if God was the cause, then God was the only possible solution. He was the only one who would be able to deliver them from this time. If God was the one who caused it, he was the one to be prayed to and sought for this resolution. I know there are a lot of people today who say, and you may be thinking it, and you may be wondering it even now, is coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, is this God's judgment upon the world and upon our nation as a whole? I don't know. I really have no clarity on if this is judgment from the Lord. But I do know this. I know that now is a very good time for us to be able to come before the Lord and to ask the Holy Spirit to search us and to try us, to see if there is any wicked way in us, in my own life personally, in our lives as a church family, even asking on behalf of our nation and our world, or is there something that the Lord has against us that we as his people need to repent of? Whether this is because of judgment or not, a great step that the scriptures always encourage us is to be able to seek the Lord, to see if there is anything that we need to repent of. So I encourage you today to do that. Maybe part of God's resolution and part of that prayer of help and rescue may be a prayer of repentance, maybe asking him to forgive us of a specific thing that he has against us. And even if there is nothing, even if this isn't judgment from the Lord, it certainly does not keep us from crying out to him, because God is our help. God is our refuge. He is the only one, though there are many wonderful medical people, even though there are many great government leaders who are helping us to walk through these days in our country and around the world, still, it is God who will be the one who will bring resolution to this. So whether this is judgment that we need to repent of, or whether this is just the result of the fall and a broken world that we live in, one way or another, we need to cry out to the Lord, to pray to him for the resolution of this matter. Pray for the resolution. But secondly, as we seek to learn these lessons, pray for resolution and live for the long haul, we need to settle into life as it is. Verses 5 through 6, 8 through 9, and 20 to 23 can give us some insight into this. To settle into life as it is. In verses 5 through 6, Jeremiah's letter continues, and he says, "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease." Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Jeremiah tells the people who are living in exile to settle into life, to make living in Babylon, what it looked like there, the same as what they were doing back home in Jerusalem. Rather than thinking, let's just bide our time here for a few weeks or maybe a few months and then we'll get back home, Jeremiah is telling his people, God is telling his people through Jeremiah, settle down. The way you go about life normally is the way I want you to go about life now. Build houses, plant vineyards, give your daughters and your sons to marriage. Increase, do not decrease. In these days of exile, it's very important for us to figure out what it looks like to live in a way of increase and not of decrease. Because if we don't figure out what life looks like now and settle into a rhythm of what life looks like now, we will inevitably decrease. We need to be people. The kingdom of God is about increase. It's about moving forward. It's about advancement in our own personal walk with the Lord and joining him in his mission in the world. And so we need to settle into life for however long this will be, settle into life as it is, seeking to increase in the circumstances rather than sit back and decrease. On a personal level, we've been establishing what a family rhythm looks like. I've been establishing what a rhythm looks like for ministry and for work in the midst of this being exiled to our homes. It's important not to look ahead and say, one day this will be all over and we'll just bide our time until then. We need to be people who are looking intentionally for what this looks like and are building rhythms into our lives to live life as it is now and be people of increase, not decrease. As a church family, we are looking for ways, leadership is looking for ways to be able to increase and not decrease. We're looking for ways to not just have Sunday worship. In fact, this week we are hoping to launch via Zoom calls our discipleship groups Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. All those details you will be receiving on how to get on those Zoom calls, because we don't want to just wait for this to be over. We want to be able to resume life as it is, as much as it can be, even in a virtual way, to be able to stay connected to each other, even though it's through phone and through text and through social media in various ways. But we want to be people who don't just sit back and wait for something to change. We want to be people who embrace what life is right now, who settle into it and look for the ways that God is leading us to increase and not decrease. There's going to be a huge temptation, and you may even be feeling that temptation. The thoughts may be running around your mind, the objection in your mind even now. Well, this is going to be over really quick, and I hope that it's over really quick. But I want to be prepared for it not being over really quick. Even the Centers for Disease Control, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, said no meetings of groups of 50 or more for 8 weeks, counting this Sunday. That means there are still 6 more Sundays that would affect. And so we want to be people who are not just saying, this is going to pass quickly. Jeremiah dealt with those people and warned the exiles not to listen to them. Look at verses 8 and 9 and then 20 to 23. It says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. If you would read down in verses 20 to 23, therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, son of Messiah, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your very eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. The Lord treats you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned in the fire. For they have done outrageous things in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and in my name have spoken lies, which I did not tell them to do. I know it, and I am a witness of it, declares the Lord. See, these prophets were telling the people what they wanted to hear. I would call them, using Paul's biblical term to Timothy, watch out for those who will tell you what your itchy ears want to hear. what we want to hear is that this is going to be over in a week or a week and a half, and life will be back to normal. What we want to hear is that everything will be all right. What we want to hear is this is short-lived. And while we certainly pray that this is short-lived, we pray for mercy, the mercy of God to be poured out. We don't want to buy into those itchy ears kinds of things. We want to make sure that we settle into life as it is for as long as it is, so that we might increase and not decrease, so that the kingdom of God might move forward, not stay where it's at. Third lesson, third action step that we might take as we pray for resolution and live for the long haul, and that is to bless the city. Verse 7 of Jeremiah's letter says this: "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, for if it prospers," or pray to the Lord for it, "because if it prospers, you too will prosper." For 70 years, they were going to be in captivity. For 70 years, they would be in exile. And so the Lord is saying, pray and do good to bless the city, because if the city prospers, then you too will prosper as well. Friends, we want to be people of action for as long as this lasts. We want to be people who are looking to bless our city, who are looking to bless our community. Last week, I shared a number of ways that we are looking to do that. I've shared it in a letter as well. And so I want to just take a moment to remind you. One of those in seeking the prosperity and the peace of our city would be to first care for those in our own local church. And so our leadership is reaching out. I've been trying to reach out to as many of you as possible to see how you're doing. Friends, if there are needs that you have, whether they are financial, whether they are physical, whether they are emotional or spiritual, we want to be able to be a church family who comes alongside of each other, who shepherds each other well, who cares for each other, being the presence of Christ, loving each other. So we've established a response team of people who are willing to come alongside. If you need groceries, if you need medications to be picked up, if there are errands that you would like to have run for you, there are a group of people from the church who are happy to do those things to take care of those in our local body. Reach out to one another with phone calls and texts, encouraging cards. We have a challenge on Facebook every day of ways that we are able to engage with the Lord and engage with one another. And so seeking the peace and the prosperity of the city will look first by caring for one another, but it will also look like caring for our community. That response team would also be able to meet the needs of people in our community as well. And so if you know people outside of our church that don't have someone to do those basic necessity kinds of life errands for them, please call the church and let us know so that we might activate the body of Christ to serve our community. We also have been doing a food pantry drive. A number of people have already dropped off supplies and canned goods and oatmeal and different things, and we are very grateful for that. There's a bin on the back porch of the church, and so as you're out getting your own groceries, if you want to pick up some canned goods that will be for those in West Deer Township and Indiana Township, we would appreciate that very much. You can send checks into the church as well for West Deer Food Bank, and we will make sure that those get to the right location to help those in need in our community at this time. Lastly, we're looking to for the peace and prosperity of our city to reach even farther to the nations as well. We talked about a coronavirus response. An international worker was here two Sundays ago sharing about what God is doing in the midst of their team that is ministering in a coronavirus hotspot in the world. And so we want to come alongside those international workers so that the ministry that God has been blessing there will continue to be able to go forward, will continue to be a blessing, will continue to reach the people in that region of the world as they are also looking to send out workers as these days move forward. And so if you are interested in that, we are seeking to be very generous towards that work in this time as well. You can send a check in with your normal offerings as you would be led to do that, marking coronavirus response, and that will go towards that need. Friends, we want to be people who bless our city, who bless our community, who bless our church family, and who bless the nations. And so these days, if we settle into life as it is, living for the long haul, we will be able to see what God wants to do, and we will be able to join him in that. Pray for resolution, but live for the long haul. Second lesson is this: find hope in God's restoration. Find hope in God's restoration. to do that, two things of trust and one action to take. The first, trust that God will bring restoration. Look at verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. God promises that he will restore, that he will bring them back after 70 years of captivity. This promise was to God's people in Judah, but it's not to us today. However, there are many promises that we are able to hold on to in these days, especially. We know that one day Jesus will return. And when he returns, he will restore all things. He will make all things that are wrong, he will make them right again. He will restore everything that is broken in this world. Things that we are experiencing now with coronavirus and many other things of injustice and brokenness because of sin in this world. So we can hold on to the promise that one day Jesus is returning and he will restore and make all things right. But we can also hold on to the promise that as Jesus came, the kingdom came. And wherever Jesus rules and reigns, wherever his people surrender to his rule and reign, there the kingdom is. And so because of that, the kingdom will advance in increasing ways. And where the kingdom advances, restoration comes. Friends, the church is the presence of Jesus Christ, is his kingdom presence on this earth. And so we want to ask, and we want to be part of what he is doing, surrendering to him that his restoration might come in increasing ways. Part of that may one day be, and we're praying that one day it will be, the elimination of coronavirus. But there are also where there is fear, where there is lack of hope, where there are difficulties, where there are problems, where needs are not being met. Wherever those needs are met, the kingdom comes. And wherever the kingdom comes, restoration comes to a broken area. And so we want to be people that trust that God will bring restoration. For Israel and for God's people, Judah, after 70 years, that was going to come about. And God will do those restoring works if we put ourselves in places where he can restore in us and through us. So find hope in God's restoration, trusting that he will bring it. Second lesson, trust God for his plans in this season. Verse 11 may be one of the most famous verses in scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This verse is one of the most famous and one of the most powerful for asking God's direction in life. It was a very important and very powerful verse for me as I was a senior in high school. It was one of the first times it really caught in my heart as I was seeking the Lord for what he had for my life. And so the promise that God had plans and a purposes and a future for me really encouraged me to seek after him. But, you know, even more powerful than those directional promises and that hope that it brings to us is how powerful this verse is when we understand it truly in its context. In the midst of exile for Judah, God is promising that he has a plan for them, for their well-being, for their future, not 70 years in the future only. Certainly there are plans and purposes in a future at the end of this time of exile for Judah. But he is speaking to them that it's not just a one day this will happen, but this is a right now this will happen. I have plans. I have purposes. I have a future for you while you are yet in exile in these 70 years. While you are about living life and settling in, while you are about looking to bless your city. I have plans and I have a purpose. Friends, be encouraged and find hope in the fact of the restorative power of God, that he has plans and a purpose for this season of our lives, individually and as a church family. May that bring great hope to us that God is going to use us if we lean into him. But it's very important that we understand that for Judah, this promise of the plans and the purposes and the future that he has for them did have a conditional aspect to it. And that conditional aspect is seen in verses 12 through 14, that they were to seek God in a fresh way. Verses 12 through 14, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. What a powerful promise. But yet it is tied to this condition that they must seek him with all their heart, that they must seek him in prayer and do it not just half-heartedly, but with all their heart, that they were to come to worship him on a regular basis, not just one time a week, that they were to make it a 24/7, 7 day a week, 365 day a year practice, that their hearts should be poured out to the Lord and committed to the Lord in a new and in a fresh way. This was not half-hearted devotion. This was total devotion to God. The promise from God is that if they will do this, in light of these plans and the purposes that he has in those 70 years and beyond, that he would bring them out of exile, that he would return them back home, that he would restore them. Friends, this is a fresh opportunity for us to seek God in a new and increased way. This is a fresh opportunity for us, as we said at the beginning, to seek and to allow the Lord to seek and to search and to try us by his Spirit. And if whatever he would show to us of things that are competing with him, that we might be able to cast them off, and that we might be able to pursue him, casting off all those things that rival our pursuit of Christ, that we might seek him with all of our heart, knowing that we will find him when we seek him with all of our heart. You know, even if the circumstances of coronavirus don't change, if we seek him, we will be renewed, refreshed people individually. And we will be a renewed and refreshed people as a church family. And as a result, we will be people of greater hope. We will have stories of hope that will be continuing to come day after day, week after week. Individually, as a church family, let us seek so that we might be in a place where the restoring power of God is touching our lives, is touching our church family, and as a result, will touch our community and will touch the nations. Friends, we have an opportunity and a privilege in these days to be people who seek our God in response to what he is doing. I told you at the beginning of our time that I'm sitting here in our living room at the parsonage in my great-grandmother's chair. If all of our calculations are right, this chair is over 100 years old, made somewhere between probably 1900 and 1910. As I said, it belonged to my great-grandmother and has now been passed down to me. It's been through two world wars and many other conflicts. It's seen and been around on this earth while men were put on the moon. It's seen countless technological advancements, just to name a few things that have gone on since this chair was first manufactured. But over the past century, this chair was refinished by my grandmother. The seat itself was recovered by my mother. And now it is here still going strong 100 or 110 or 20 years later, however long it's been. But the reason I share that with you is that there were seasons each time that it was in need of some help, each time it was in need of refinishing or recovering, that it had its own time of exile. It had its own time where it was taken out of the living room. It was taken to a place where it could be stripped down and refinished, where the padding could be recovered, the seat could be recovered. It had a time where it was taken away, brought into isolation, so that work could be done on it, so that after it was completed, it would be able to be brought back and used and be even better than it was before. Friends, when God restores and does a work in our lives, He doesn't just bring it back to where it was. He makes it better than it was before. In these days where we are living in exile, to the exiles at home, I believe the word of the Lord is this, that we would lean into what he is up to, that we would pray to him for the resolution of this coronavirus, that we would ask for his mercy to be poured out upon our community, upon our nation, and upon our world, but that we would settle in for the long haul, that we would get a rhythm for what life looks like, so that we might be able to bless our city and bless one another, so that we might take God up fully on his invitation, that we might trust him for the restoration work that he wants to do, knowing that he has plans for even this season. This is not a wasted time. He has plans and purposes for this season. May we be people who seek him during this time and ask that God would do a fresh work in our lives individually and in our lives as a church family, so that we might be a blessing to our community and to the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we sit in our various homes, either watching this or listening to this, Father, I pray that you would stir up hope in our hearts, that even though we are exiled to our homes in a sense, that these would not be wasted days, that we do not look at them as opportunities of just, let's just get through this, but that we would look at it as an opportunity for you to do something amazing and powerful and fresh in us and through us. Father, you are not a God who wastes time. So may we not be people who waste time. You are not a God who wastes opportunities. And so may we see this as an opportunity you are giving to us. May we not waste it, but may we take advantage of it fully, that you would do great and mighty things that we cannot even begin to get our minds around, that we could not even begin to ask you for. And so, Father, we pray blessing this day. We pray encouragement and hope over each one who is listening or watching. May you strengthen them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So with this being different, rather than a closing hymn today, closing song, I want to simply bless you. May the Lord bless you with great hope. May he encourage your heart. May you lean into this in great and mighty ways, not waiting for this to be over, but taking advantage of what God is up to. For he is the God of great plans and purposes. Even in this season, may you take advantage of it, and may his kingdom come and his will be done here in your life on this earth, and through your life, for the sake of the glory of the kingdom of God and King Jesus. May he grant you his peace, and may he comfort your heart these days. May fresh hope arise. May the Lord bless you. Amen.